The following is a Podcast 225 production. The movers.
The movers.
The shakers.
The shakers.
The people.
The people.
If it matters to the capital city, the region, and beyond, you'll hear it
here.
This is the Clay Young Show.
All right, so this one's a little different. We're doing the show this week upstairs at WAFB. That's right. See, starting off. WAFB, we just taped the TV show this morning. Mm-hmm. We brought it over to AFB. Liz Coe and Matt Williams are both here, who've been up maybe 18 hours so far.
Matt longer than me.
17 years, Clay.
That's right. Matt gets up at 9:30 at night to come here to do the morning show.
About 12:30 in the morning.
12:30 in the morning. So we got to get to that in just a moment. But let's tell the story. So the TV show is back over here now, right. Or is here now, mm-hmm. based upon a conversation you and I had last fall. Yeah. Okay. So I started the show nearly 3 years ago at BRZ. Mm-hmm. Gordy Rush, Rocky Dabovall reached out and said, hey, would you come back and do television? I'm like, I'm not interested in that. Yeah. That goes on for about 6 months. And I said, okay, let's think about it. So we talked and said, look, I don't know if people want my brand of media, television, mm-hmm. because I don't do hot takes. I don't weaponize media to go after people. I like conversations. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, damn, let's just try it. So we tried it, and 130 some odd episodes later, and then, you know, some transitions happened last year, and I was thinking I might shut it down at the end of the year. And then me and old Williams, Liz, were sitting at Churchill's.
That's very true. You seen there?
Having some cigars.
A cigar and a drink.
Wow. I said, you know, man, it'd be great if we could. And then it was kind of what if.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know,
we are
doing the show here at AFB. It's all your fault.
Well, you keep saying it's all my damn fault.
It is your fault. I mean, you know.
Well,
it
I think people need to know you guys were friends, have been for a long time. Yeah. So these mandates.
20 years. So, yeah.
These mandates have gone back some time.
That's
but I do love that you guys have
mandate
that.
Or a mandate?
A man space date.
A man. Okay.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Look, y'all are both confident enough in your message. To admit that it's okay. So,
you're gonna be. You see him. He's gorgeous.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
So we started talking about it, and then I met Joe for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Our general manager.
I was here for the podcast I did with Rick and Darren.
Yes.
About sex trafficking.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Joe and I met. I met Heather before, mm-hmm. and they've been great. And then working with you and Kirk Michelet, who I hadn't worked with in a long time, and the first one was amazing. I had a good time, man.
It was good times. No, it's a good spot to do it. And the podcast, like you said to your point, this the TV show is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Fridays and the reruns on Saturday. But you get up here with these microphones, and you feel like, okay, well, no leash, man.
Right.
Seatbelt.
So you can just do whatever you want to do. That's right. I started off the show by saying WBRZ instead of WAFB. So,
well, that's part of the story too.
And people want to hear that. Well, and people want to know like what happened. It's like, look, there's some Ed Ball who's retired from there, great friend of mine, fantastic professional. Yep. Leah Marchand, who's over there right now. Kyle, Wes, Scott, all them. They were
some
great
folks. Yeah.
One of the things though, coming here, it feels like it just fits. Well, because there's so many faces I've known for so long.
You were here. I mean, it was never an employee, but always a go-to figure in the community because of your connections in the community, the stories, the folks you know, your experiences here. And so, there was no brainer that WAFB would always try to access Clay and his access.
Yeah.
And so to have you back under the roof, it just makes sense.
And, you know, the feedback has been so amazing. I mean, even when we were together last week when I came on the show and we were kind of joking around, I had text messages while we were doing it. Yeah. Then y'all
watch our show.
I guess so.
Y'all got to put up with Asian every day?
Every damn day. Yeah, every day. No, every day.
I know.
Every day.
It's a package deal.
It is.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have an IV of caffeine?
This one does.
Liz does?
I like to joke. So we were covering the balloon festival in Ascension Parish, and Bobby Weber just came into the sheriff's world at the time after Jeff Wiley, and he was like, Liz, how you got so much excitement? I was like, Sheriff, it's all the drugs. And he got a kick out of that. I'm talking
to a cop, damn it.
No. Right. Oh, he got a kick out of that. But that's the thing. If you genuinely, and I'm not just saying this,
right?
If you genuinely love the work you do and the people you work with, it makes a world of difference in how you approach coming to work every day. You got to love it because...
Yeah.
these hours, they're rough, right? Yeah. You're not seeing your family. You spend more time with your coworkers than you do at home. Yeah. You have to love what you do.
Yeah, Morningside is the toughest of all, even tougher than overnight, because I did morning radio for a lot of years, and I didn't get up nearly as early as you guys have to get up.
What time are you getting up?
3:15.
Still, I mean, that's the your circadian rhythm. Yeah,
it's, you know, it's crazy. So I still get up at 4 now because I have a hard time sleeping past 6 o'clock. I just can't.
Yeah.
Just because I did it for so many years.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing is when you come in here, the energy is so good. And even being in master control when you guys were on this morning, that's hard in media now. Because, I look, candidly, media, the media industry can be the most toxic place in the world to be, depending on where you work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you've got a good environment, man, you're lucky.
That's what we've talked about a lot. The family at WAFB and the family that we've created, certainly on a morning show. Look, I've been on the show, and so I'm kind of biased, obviously, for 15, 16, 17 years on the morning show, the shift. And so it is, to your point, that family that you create, because you see them even more than your, you know, family at home. And so you better like and love the people you work with, because the hours are brutal.
Right.
But because the media has shifted in certain spots, and you can kind of get that vitriol from shop to shop.
Right.
If you start to see that on a show like this or a shift like this, you gotta be able to try to either help solve the issue or stamp it out. Yeah. It just can't be allowed. It can't be allowed. It's too tough.
Yeah. But I think that speaks highly to the point of hiring correctly, right? Mm-hmm. You find the people, the characters, the people who genuinely want to be here, but also want to work as a team, right?
Yeah.
So I like to brag on Matt because he's a pioneer of this, right? You had Pat Simon and then Matt Williams, John Burns, Lauren Westbrook, a lot of people who've paved the way to make the show a family type of vibe. So when we do road trips or go on the field, it's such a great feeling when someone says, I've been watching you since you started here. I've been watching since I grew up. And that they still choose us, gosh, that is such a great thing to hear.
Well, that's the other thing, you know, being back here, the love affair between the community and the station. And I've had more people ask me, hey man, it's about time you do that, you did that, or what? Where were those opinions before?
Right. You know? Exactly. Right. Come on now.
But I mean, it's, and like, we were out in New Roads a couple days ago for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And my goodness, man. And it's like, dude, it's, I haven't even done. So now it's like, you know, so I can't go and fall on my face now.
No,
watch yourself.
So New Roads is one of those spots. We've done it, to Liz's point, we've done a few road trips, a couple road trips out there, and I don't know, it may be, and we've done them in bigger towns, Baton Rouge, New Gonzales. We'd be hard pressed to find a spot that turned out like a New Roads, just to brag on New Roads that much more.
Yeah.
But also, to your point, if you go out and you serve a community like you should be doing as part of the media, telling these stories, not just the negative stuff, because that's easy to do.
Right.
If you're out there and you're telling their stories, then of course they're going to want you in their living room, or or their bedrooms or kitchens or wherever they're watching you for the, so many hours a day. It is all about that handshake with the community. And that has to be, you have to make that effort every single day.
You know, one of my things about morning news is, you know, because I'm up before your news generally starts. Mm-hmm. Most people get up and you don't know what the day's got. Right. If it's too heavy, too negative, it impacts the way you feel when you start your day. So I think y'all have the perfect balance of levity and then, you know, being serious. How do y'all balance that?
Ooh, that's tough.
It's, I get asked that question from time to time about, you know, well, for one, how come you're still doing mornings?
Mm-hmm.
Like the evening is the place to be. And that used to be. Mm-hmm. It used to be, I mean, morning was the redheaded stepchild. I love redheads, by the way. Don't at me.
Right.
I'm just kidding. But it used to be that was, the morning shows were frowned upon.
Yeah.
And now you see where, look, we've got a lot of show to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And if all we did was the blood, smoke, and scandal, I would not be in this business anymore.
No.
So the length of our show and the personalities we have and the stories we want to tell allow us to be able to smile and laugh every once in a while and be able to bring folks through the morning, telling them, yes, some of the nasty that's out there because they need to know about it, but also, to your point, being able to make them smile and laugh.
That's the goal. And I love the variety aspect of that, right? Like the most common thing I hear from someone when they say, they figure out we're members of the media or we're on the local station, you're the news lady. I often hear, sorry, I don't watch the news. It's just so negative. It's always crime.
It's always
COVID.
1,000%.
But then I said, try watching the morning show, because it's not just us. It's our team of producers who make sure we have that levity mixed with breaking news, mixed with everything in there. But at the end of the day, Matt and I are humans. We've experienced the same loss and pain as anyone else out there. And these are, they're not our stories. They're the community stories that we just get to show and tell. Yeah. Literally, we just show and tell every day.
Yeah.
What are some of the things behind the scenes that you guys are doing to make the show work that the average person viewing may not realize? Because it's a very technical thing. I mean, mm-hmm. people see the end product mm-hmm. when the red light goes on, but man, there's so many moving parts. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, to Liz's point as well, she mentioned earlier, finding people who have the passion. Mm-hmm. If that's the foundation. If you don't have that to begin with, then everything from thereafter is going to be a struggle,
right.
including what you see
right.
on the air. It is our job once, you know, Liz, me, Steve, Johnny, anybody who's on the air, no matter what's going on back of house, it is our job to remain whatever, calm, mm-hmm. cool, whatever the story demands. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to be in that moment. And so it's imperative to have back of house those who are completely into it mm-hmm. and passionate about what they're doing. And we have some good folks, some good producers and senior producers and associate producers working for us. So, you know, by the time when I get here in the morning, it's like 1:15 in the morning and everybody's like, oh my God, that's so early. There's already two, sometimes three people hard at it.
Right.
Working
right.
on this show because we hit the air at 4:30
yeah.
and the morning show is not completely done until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize either. A lot of people think anchors just come in and talk. So Matt comes in, he writes all the sports stories, he finds the video, he attaches mm-hmm. them, he writes a whole what we call block of news, right? What you see between the breaks.
Yeah.
So Matt writes, I write, we edit video. We don't just show up and the scripts mm-hmm. are ready. We have mm-hmm. to thoroughly vet them because we're journalists at the end of the day.
Right.
We have to make sure the information in the script is right.
That's
and
right.
if it's not, it's our job to fix it so the wrong information doesn't get out there, right? And so many people think that it's such a glamorous business. Oh, you must be nice getting your hair and makeup done. I do it before I come in.
Yeah.
We don't do that here.
Right.
But
television really glamorizes things that have never been as glamorous as people think they are in a mid-market. And you talked about not being able to do this if it was just negative. You know, that's one of the reasons I left J-Bo in 2012. It was every day, and I just couldn't stay in the space of negativity. And even doing this TV show now, it's like, man, yeah, like we talked about the crime session. We talked about this AI software about mm-hmm. guns. But I also had Myra on to talk about 225 mm-hmm. Fest. I'm not interested in just talking about blood and guts. I kind of want to talk about other stuff too. Do you think more and more people are moving in that direction where they do, they not only hope you provide the balance, they want you to, or they ain't watching? If it's just negative, 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 they're just not watching the news.
I think the metrics depend. The answer is yes. I think so. When you look at, well, for instance, a podcast like this, you have a lot of very successful like crime drama podcasts, that kind of thing. And so you can look at where people are going with their own phone, let alone TV and what's being pushed at them from their phone, what they're accessing on their own, what they want to look for, what they want to find. And so you're finding just a cornucopia of shows out there that have nothing to do with the blood, smoke, and scandal. Mm-hmm. They want to be uplifted. They mm-hmm. want to hear some of this good stuff. And so when you see that, it's being accessed in the digital realm, the social media realm, streaming, that kind of thing, then it only makes sense that we provide that through the linear television mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we're missing an opportunity. We're missing them hitting us on the head saying, we're literally going after this on our own. Can you maybe provide it for us as well?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's where we come in as a community station, right? Like we are not CBS News. We're not NBC News. Mm-hmm. We're not ABC. We are an affiliate station. Mm-hmm. But the asset about being a community station is someone who typically doesn't watch news will if you show their son winning the state championship. Mm-hmm. If their kid is being shown doing something really cool that makes someone smile, color the weather, Jay mm-hmm. picks them or Steve picks them for color the weather, that's going to make them watch and say, well, I'm going to come back to you because you invested in me for that 30 seconds of TV time. That's a big deal, right?
Well, Em mentioned it a second ago in New Roads, the attention from everybody, the whole, like, they know you and, you know, just seeing it. I've been doing this a long time, so I get a little bit of that, mm-hmm. and you appreciate it. But, you know, I want to ask you all about the nexus between hard journalism and opinion media, because I'm doing a little bit of opinion media now with this show and what I've, you know, the podcast is kind of an outlier, but with TV it's a little bit of opinion media, but I have lines I won't cross. I think that thing where you can't tell if the person's the journalist or the opinion person muddies the water of trust between the viewer and the entity. How do you think media needs to navigate that to make certain that when you're talking to them about, God forbid, a mass shooting or something with a natural disaster or something that they know this is not political opinion, this is not theater, that you then are wearing that J school hat that you're hired to do? How do you make that balance happen?
So, yeah, and so that's a That the answer there, how much longer you have on the podcast?
How much time you need, brother?
Because you talk about where do you draw the line? And, you know, I think traditional media gets a very bad rap these days. We work very hard at being an actual professional journalist, the J-school route, right? Going through and knowing what should be and shouldn't be. And so we try to leave out, certainly when it comes to those hard stories, anything in politics, the opinions don't belong. And you'll find the opinions when we're doing the, we had a cow stuck in the mud earlier on the show. You'll catch some opinions about the cow stuck in the mud. That's part of it. But the ability to shift gears in the middle of a show when you know this is nothing about, nobody cares about your opinion.
Right.
This is the facts of the story.
Right.
I don't know that everybody is able to do that anymore because ratings are down over here, over there, and oh my, what's going to get the click?
Yeah.
And how do I tell this story in a way that I may get a few more of the base that's in my viewing audience? For us, I guarantee it on the morning show because we'll rewrite and rewrite and rewrite until it sounds right. I've got emails from people saying I'm too much this way or I'm too much that way, which means I am doing the exact job I should be.
Exactly.
If you can't tell, I'm doing good.
Well, that's the exact thing you want to hear, right? But I'm going to say, for the average person who consumes media, it is confusing, right? You've got CNN that's a 24-hour news network, Fox News that's a 24-hour news network. I'm going to be honest, Clay. A lot of what they do, it's not journalism. It's,
no.
Some of it is, sure. It's storytelling. I'm showing you on the ground in a war zone what's happening.
It's opinion.
And then you've got shows that are opinion. And so when someone's watching our show, they're thinking, wait a minute, but they're a CBS station, so what are they? No, we are reacting to stories, but that's not opinion.
Well, you know, when I do, I've been doing analysis on politics here for 21 years. And I always I had a rule when Vicky approached me about Vicky Zimmerman years ago to do this.
News director at AFB.
It's like, I want to be the umpire, not the color commentator, right? Like, I want to be able, like this morning with Callie, we taped something that's going to air on Monday, talking about the crime session.
Yeah.
And my deal is, okay, I just want to explain, like, what and why from the perspective of the person doing it, whether Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. Like, what's the objective, you know, based on my experience in doing it, and that's it. I never wanted to come on the air and go into business for myself.
Right.
And I won't ever do that because it's conscious. You know, we did a press conference, the foundation, Law Enforcement Criminal Justice Foundation, 2 weeks ago to announce some AI software we talked about on the show.
Yep.
And generally when I speak, I'm extemporaneous, right? But in my opening speech, I wrote it to read it, so I never said the word I.
Mm.
And I think to your point, people are so, they bring their perspectives to it.
Yeah.
Give you one more example. A few weeks ago, I had something happen, it was so cool, and I said, I posted, I love me some Baton Rouge. I had some people saying, me too, and others, what happened? Was there a shooting? So some saw sarcasm.
Right.
Others saw the affection, which was the way it was intended. Right. And I just kind of watched people go back and forth being, I say, how is that negative?
Welcome to the world, man.
Welcome to the world. Social media, too.
Exactly.
Welcome to
the world.
So how do y'all navigate that, too? Because, you know, that drives a lot. Now, I'm not going to ask y'all to talk to it. I don't really like most consultants, so I won't ask y'all to say anything about consultants.
Well,
I got ran out of a few meetings in radio from...
Insultants, as we like to joke.
Insultants, right.
Yeah.
So how else do they keep a job?
Right.
But there's some good ones who come along and offer some really... Because anything somebody can tell me that will make me better, I want to hear it.
Of course.
As long as if it's critical... with the intention of building, it's fine. If it's critical with the intention of breaking, it's useless.
We actually have that now. We actually have a pretty good
consultant. Oh, it's great.
But because that outside perspective does indeed help if it's coming from the right place. But how do y'all balance the impact social media has on choosing what to talk about?
Is there a balance? It feels like it just exploded so quickly that teeter-totter of balance just said, not today.
Right.
And so everything is social media. And you feel almost like social media is the driver. Like it's the thing in the driving seat. And then traditional media has to react to it if you're not careful.
Right.
The idea is to be able to tell the story in all of those places, linear, social, digital, streaming. Mm-hmm. Tell the story in all those places as best you can with the voices you have.
Right.
Voices.
Right.
And then go out and listen to the community that you're supposed to be covering. And social media right now, I tell you, look, I've had some bad experiences with it, but you see some of the good from it. The flood of 16
is
really where this social media here for me popped off in another place.
Yeah.
The ability for neighbor to neighbor to be able to be like, I need, I'm coming, here we go. That is when social media really shows you what it can be. But it's a weird
That's what
balance.
It's supposed to be.
It's what
it is,
be.
But look, we've seen this time and time again, right? Think back to 2020. Mm-hmm. COVID was happening. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in their homes. You couldn't go anywhere. George Floyd gets shot and killed. People posted about it. They went posted a black square for a day. If you didn't post it, you're what? You're a racist, right? So it's a tough realm to navigate. Even posting stories, right, to your Instagram stories. If I post about any given topic, someone might think, oh, she's a Democrat or she's a Republican. She posted this about Trump. She posted this about Biden. You must take one side or the other. It's not, I'm not weighing in a position. I'm sharing this for people I follow to get that information. But you don't know. I feel for small businesses. If you don't post about something, are you against it? Are you for it? If you don't say something, people are saying, with the power, it's a polarizing issue. If you don't say anything.
I have a friend of mine who owns a large company, won't give away who, but you know, he told me he has to be careful about what he even supports because he doesn't want the implication of a leaning one way or the other because he doesn't want to hurt his business. And it's so toxic. Now look, I have a principle. I don't think most arguments are worth it. I really don't think there's much that, I mean, who wins an argument, right? Nobody really wins an argument.
I say that all the time. Yeah, it's like, I've only got so much energy, man.
Yeah, so and here's the thing. It's okay to disagree with people.
Yes.
Yep.
You could eat your steak at whatever temperature you want. Right. You paid for it.
Right.
But it's like now if people disagree, man, you're the worst. You're this.
Well done is wrong.
Right.
Well done is wrong.
No, well done is absolutely wrong. Should be against the law. Yeah. Yes. And if you disagree with that, you're dead to me. No. Just kidding.
Dead.
Yeah, that's right. So look, think about what's next for y'all. What are your goals coming into 2024? You got all these cool things happening over here.
2024?
We're vision boarding right now live.
That's right.
On the podcast,
so
Matt.
What's the plan? I mean, I know you got Tito's.
Hang on, man.
I know you got Tito's in that cup, but it's okay.
Oh.
I know. Look, you know what? What is next? Honestly, and I tell this to like students, that kind of thing, and part of it is actually true.
Yeah.
I never know what the day's... I know kind of what the day's going to be about because there's a structure of what we do, but I never know what the day's going to be about. And that's part of the excitement. That's part of the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And so what's coming? What's next? I have no freaking idea. But that's what's going to keep me going and getting here at the ungodly hour of I should still be asleep.
Yeah, people heard you say 1:15, I'm sure.
1:50. Wakes up at 12:30, sometimes midnight.
That's so gross.
Yeah.
Dude, so what is the weekend like? I mean, because basically your weekend starts at 11 o'clock on Friday.
Well, that's it, right? Exactly.
But it ends at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Well, like 3 o'clock
on
Sunday. Yeah. So, yeah. And so, you know, I try to take as much time as I can with my family. You know how the I got a Friday and a Saturday night that I can spend with my family. That's it. And because I don't really get to see my family a lot because of the hours I keep. You'd think it'd be the opposite, but I got to go to bed. So, no, it's important for me to be able to spend as much time as I can with the fam as it is for everybody.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. As for what's next, answer that question first. Obvious answer, digital, right? Who is sitting there and waiting at 10 o'clock to say, that's a top store. I'm going to sit there and find out. Mm-hmm. People want it immediately to their phone. So how do you meet people where they're at? And how do you reach a younger demographic?
Yep.
Generation Alpha, I've just learned, is 10 through 12 to 15? Mm-hmm. They don't care about news. With social media, and that's another thing, anyone can take a phone and record and go out to a scene and say, I'm covering this live. How do you distinguish between a journalist and someone who's just out there pretending to be, right?
Yeah.
That's tough. It's tough.
So, you know, I've said this because my main business is, you know, marketing, media, PR, consulting, and the last frontier of live television is sports and news.
Mm-hmm.
It's it. I don't want to watch recorded news. I don't want to watch recorded. So you have the biggest real estate to be able to keep people's attention, because if I'm watching the morning show, I want to watch it while it's happening. Sure. I don't need to watch it at 11 o'clock. I'll just wait on the noon.
Right.
And so I think that gives live television an advantage. You know, radio has been so cookie cuttered, if I may use that, for years. Mm-hmm. They've taken personalities out, and you've had, you know, the Rush Limbaughs, the Tom Joyners, depending on where you're go away. But TV still has that opportunity that a lot of places don't. How do y'all maintain that?
Oh, God.
Because I'm telling you, it's an important place to be. How do you maintain it?
You better be telling the stories that matter, to your point as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, you know, if you're doing nothing but the blood, smoke, and scandal, and you can see your needle kind of tick one way or another.
Yeah.
If you want to hold on to the place that I think is critically important still, linear television as well, you better be telling stories in a way that can... that matter to a broad generation of viewers, and that involves bringing in new faces, new ideas, some things that challenge the norm, some things that challenge this old man's view of what needs to be on TV.
Sure.
You need to have that. So how do we make sure that we stay viable and important? By making sure that we have those in the community working with us to tell those stories. It's tough, though, man, because it's day-to-day.
You never know.
It changes now, literally almost on the daily.
But you think about what unites every single person, regardless of your skin color, your age, where you came from, how you grew up, human interest story, and sports.
Yep.
That can unite everybody, matter. I'm telling you, we care about these stories, right? So you put a people together, no matter how they voted, let's say they split 50-50 down the line. Yeah. If they all root for LSU, they're all going to be in the same room partying and drinking together.
Right. Look, I cannot wait to have on the TV show. I follow this guy on social media, and he cooks. And he's like cooking in like...
Is what, this your guy? Like,
it might be me.
With a big knife?
No, I don't know about him. Oh. He just starts off everything with, what did we cook today? I'll send you that.
Okay.
And dude, I'll tell you about his cornbread when we do that. He has a special name for his cornbread. But I want to be able to do stuff like... So we follow each other.
Yeah.
And he was in Denham Springs a few weeks ago.
Cool.
And I had to travel. I was going to D.C., so I couldn't go and...
D.C. Mardi Gras, look at the boy.
Come on!
I never go to the ball, though. It's it's business for me.
Okay.
Mostly.
All right, Clay.
Don't believe it.
Yeah.
No, there may be a couple cigar places up there I frequent, but that's about it. So speaking of which, when are we doing that again?
I don't know. We got to figure it out. I'm asleep right now, though. So I know you are. If I try to book something right now, I ain't going to remember.
Listen, I appreciate y'all. I'm excited about us working together over the next year and being able to share and content and talk. And this won't be the last time we do this. So y'all are a big part of why I'm excited about being back in the mothership. So
we're
ready
excited
to get it
going.
Love it.
The stories you're
going
to tell are going to be great.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, y'all guys, have a great, great wherever you are, end of the week, weekend, whatever. And we'll catch you next time here at Podcast 225.
Your voice matters. Visit The Clay Young Show at podcast225.com and email The Clay Young Show at clay@podcast225.com.